Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
So our Bible reading for today comes from Acts chapter 9, from verse 36 to 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name was Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Amen.
Well, thank you, worship team. Thank you, Nick, for reading that. And I don't know if you've ever had a problem. Of course you do. We've all got problems, haven't we? I've got a particular problem that's very early in the morning. The problem is about this big, and it gets going at about 4 a.m. and it won't stop. Anybody got chickens? Anybody got a rooster? No, you're wise, aren't you? I've got this problem with this rooster that says it is time to get up. Now, I'm quite okay in the fives, but fours, give me a break. Like 4 o'clock in the morning, nobody should be awake. Dairy farmers, that's about it. Like, seriously, this rooster, about every 30, if I'm generous, 40 seconds, will say, "Get up, get up, get up, get up." He doesn't change his tune. He doesn't do anything different. He just says, "Get up." I think this rooster and I are on a collision course, actually. We'll talk about that later. The rooster and I will. Little things can make such a big difference. Agreed? Little things can have such a huge impact. We shouldn't despise little things. I mean, who has ever tried to go to sleep when there's a mosquito in the room? I mean, just talk about extraordinary. Who's ever walked to the toilet in the morning in the dark when you don't want to be awake and one of your precious darlings has left a little piece of Lego that there's no doubt about, all the parents are laughing because they know exactly what I'm talking about, that there's no doubt about it that your feet are just zoned in on and they will find it. Little things make a huge difference. Our world despises little things at the moment. Our world wants big and brash and bold and right out there. But you know, the economy of God is that everything matters. The big, yes, but the little, absolutely, is all part of God's economy. You know, we're knee deep in our series in the characters of the New Testament. And we've been bringing you the well-known, and we've got some more coming, and the obscure from the New Testament. And today I want to speak to you about Dorcas. Anybody, are you familiar with Dorcas? We just heard the story about Dorcas, so you know you are very familiar with it. You know, when I was a kid, I remember in Sunday school doing the colouring in, and I distinctly remember colouring in the story of Dorcas. And I remember that because there was all the widows, and I had to figure out what was the difference between a window and a widow, and then I worked it out, what was going on. You know, all the widows holding up their clothes. And I remember colouring in those clothes. And I'll think later as an adult, I think, I didn't have those sorts of colours I was using, the vivid colours. I had just whatever they had. So today I want to hold up Dorcas as an example of life for us all, because what was missing from my Sunday school education, probably because I wasn't listening, being a normal fella, was, yeah, I understood the story, I heard the story, but I didn't understand what it meant for my life now. And it means a lot to our lives now. So I've got a lot to share with you. So let me pray. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us from these characters of this part of your church's story. Speak to us so it makes a difference to how we live and how our lives impact those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are three particular characters I want to bring to you as we go and speak into this. But the scene is set with Peter. He's just healed a paralyzed man in the nearby town of Ludda. And verse 35 tells us of the result of this healing, verse 35. So if you've got your Bibles, Acts chapter 9, if you want to open up, please. And I'm going to be referring to some of these passages as we go along. So Acts 9 and verse 35, which I'm reading from at the moment. All those who lived in Ludda and Sharon saw him, that is the man who was paralyzed, who was now walking, saw him and turned to the Lord. It's quite a remarkable little narrative, both the healing and the ensuing outcome, that everybody in those cities or those towns turns towards the Lord. But then we sort of scroll down just a little bit further and disaster strikes the Christian community in Joppa. Verse 37. About that time, she, that is Dorcas, became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. So rather than just going, that's a tragedy, she has passed, the community in Joppa refused to accept that outcome. And so they tried to find ways in which they could reverse that. So they sent for Peter, knowing that Peter was close. And, you know, Joppa and Ludda are about 18 k's apart, so it's probably about 4 hours walk each way. So think about that for the moment. The community is shattered because of the death of one of their loved members. They don't accept it, so they send for Peter. But by this time, Dorcas had been dead for at least 24, maybe 48 hours. And all this has been recorded by Luke, a doctor. So we assume that he knows when she's dead, she's truly dead. So let's just see how this unfolds. And so all our eyes turn on Peter, because he becomes the centre of our attention. And as far as we know, Peter's not raised anybody from the dead. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, he actually puts two people to death. So it's not really looking too good on his CV for this job, you know. He has sort of the opposite effect on people's lives. But Peter, here's the thing that we need to understand. Peter has been with Jesus. Peter has been with Jesus. And he's seen what Jesus did for Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. And so if you're taking notes, you might want to write that down and have a look at that a little bit later on. Peter was a front row spectator, and by what we see, he was a good disciple of Jesus. He actually gets this one right. Okay, he gets it. In all his bumbling and all the stuff that goes on with Peter, he understands it. He knows about the words, the ways, the works of Jesus. I've talked to you about that before. And so he does what Jesus showed him to do, because Jesus is a good teacher. If we submit ourselves to his teaching, he will teach us. In fact, apart from two things, Peter does almost exactly what Jesus did. It's fascinating. So a little bit later on, look up Mark chapter 5, and you're all wondering what they are. The two different things are that Peter goes into the room alone. Jesus takes his disciples in with him. Maybe that was, I'm assuming, to mentor them, so they knew what was going to happen, so they could also do it. The second thing that Peter does differently is that he gets down on his knees and prays. And I assume Peter does this to see what God's will is in this situation. That was a smart move, really, isn't it? That's a very smart move on Peter's behalf. The last point that he gets down and pray is really significant for us, because I believe that if Peter got a no from God, he would have walked out of that room and we wouldn't have this story recorded for us. That action by Peter tells us a substantial amount. Like, this is the apostle. Like, for all his bumbling and for all that that goes on for Peter, this is the apostle that Jesus said is the rock on which I will build my church. Like, this is a significant man. Vested authority on him from Jesus. For goodness sake, he's just healed a paralyzed man. Anybody could assume what God wants to happen. You think it would be Peter in that moment, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You with me? Nod your head. That's good. Can we turn the heating down a little bit? Is that okay? All right. So Peter has this authority, has this understanding, has this kudos before God. And what does he do? He gets down on his knees and he asks God, what do you want me to do? He's waiting for a clear direction from God. He's not supposing what God wants him to do in a certain situation. He's asking, he's discerning. He paused his actions, taking the time, taking the space to hear what God wants, not just reacting to the situation that he's immediately confronted with. Let me just put this out there. How often do we assume what God wants to do in a certain situation? How often do we think we know exactly what God wants to do? In fact, we don't even think that. We just do what we believe God would want to be done in that situation. How often do we make judgment calls that are not ours to make? We do it all the time. Like, seriously. The application of this prayer is for us at this time. Our minds are not always God's minds. Our thoughts, our actions are not always God's actions, not always God's desires. You know, I've often thought we should respond, not react. That's how I try and live my life. Respond, not react. I've learnt in preparing this sermon, there's another step. We should pray and then respond. Here again is the application of the discipleship description that I've been giving to you. Remember, I've been defining discipleship as hearing and then obeying. Here we go. Here we see Peter going, I need to hear so that I can obey. And he takes the time to hear clearly. You know, in due course, we're going to teach more on how we hear God's voice. But note this one thing. Peter clears the clutter to make space for God to speak. This is a great challenge for us in our life. It does tell you what, just doesn't apply to me. It applies to us. To make the space to hear. And I wonder if one of the devil's tactics against us is to make the world so busy, so full on, that we don't have the space to hear the voice of God. It is definitely something that I struggle with, and it is used against me to stop me hearing clearly what God is saying. So how do you go with this? How do you go hearing the voice of God? Is it that you just don't hear the voice of God because you don't make the space? Or is it that we hear and we don't obey? Let me give you an illustration. I'm really enjoying the present car I'm driving at this moment. As long as I can buy diesel, and this probably going to be for the next 3 weeks. I saw somebody, a friend of mine, travelling in the Outback, and they put up a picture of the fuel pump. Are you ready to hear this? It was $3.25 a litre. So as long as I can buy diesel or sell kidneys to pay for diesel, I'll keep running this car. And I'm planning to keep it long term. So you'll see, well, I was going to say see a grey old man coming. You already see a grey man coming. You'll see a man with a Zimmer frame coming one of these days. It's in the same old car. As part of keeping a car long term, I found you need to be acutely aware of any changes that are in the car. True? All right? Often these lead to a problem arising that needs fixing. And so what's the old saying? A stitch in time saves nine. Okay, there's a truth in that, isn't there? I've discovered, though, if I always have Spotify on, I never hear the voice of the car. You know what I'm saying? If my cab is filled with bangers all the time, I'm not allowed to say that. Gee, I'm glad this is being recorded, isn't it? Let me stick to my notes. And my notes say I need to consciously make the gap in the music to hear the regular rhythms of the car. If I do this for my car, why don't we do this for the Lord? I finally got there. I'm not guilting you, because I'm in on this as well. I'm rather pointing out that the only way to know the mind of God is to make space, clear the noise, and listen. Peter teaches us this. Making space is a habit, and a habit starts with a decision that is repeated enough times for it to stick. We can all do it. Here's the second thing. There's a group of widows in this story. Now, I reckon it's likely they were also referred to in verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. So she's got two names, as a lot of biblical characters do. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. I reckon that's widows are referred to also as the poor. But then we find them named specifically in verse 39. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him their robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. I love this description of Dorcas and the engagement that she has with the community of faith, because she has made such an impact on the community around her. Think about it for a moment. I mean, there was no op shops. Okay, no New For You op shops. There was no Target, or for those of us who shop at Target, no Target. There was no Kmart. There was no TK Maxx. Like clothes were hard to come by. Most people only own a few, and making clothes was the only way it was done. So if you couldn't afford it or you didn't know how to, then you were in a lot of trouble. You either wore other people's rags or you went without. See the difference she was making in people's lives? To the poor and to the widows, Dorcas made significant change. This is what the church is meant to do to people's lives. It's exactly what we want to do with our church plant under Mark and Joy Elford. We want to make a difference in people's lives, in a community of people that don't yet know about Jesus. Wherever it is, our church plant, and we'll release the location as soon as we can, our prayer is that God use it to make a difference in the community that is around it, as much as our prayer is that God uses us in this location, Aberfoyle, to make a difference in the community around us, as much as we pray that God will make a difference to our online community and make a difference to the community that we have online. The great question that every church needs to answer in respect to this is this: would we be missed if we closed our doors today and never opened them again? Would the community notice that we are gone? Or would they say, thank goodness no one is parking over my driveway? Or would they say something else? I miss them because they added so much to our community. We have to make a difference. We have to be different. We have to stand out in our community with the gospel of grace that is so dear to us and has made a difference in our lives. We're not designed to be an insular group. We're designed to be disciples who make disciples. People who have influence for good in the world. There are many needs around us, and God has put us here and is putting our church plant in a location for a reason. Third point, nearly finished. Finally, we come to the hero of our story, who is Dorcas, the lady who made a difference and who endeared herself to the church, a lady whom the church was so concerned with when she passed away, they took the extraordinary step of faith to find Peter. They went to another town, another city, tracked him down and urged him to come and do something. I love how she is described in this passage. Now, we don't know much about her, really past what is recorded here, but in my mind I have this picture of this grey-haired, slightly diminished grandmother who smiles at you in a way you know you're loved. Someone who cares deeply, loves passionately, lives generously. Someone who you want to be around. You know the person I'm talking about? Someone who warms you and gives you those fuzzies. Someone who inspires you to live out your faith. Someone who calls you towards a deeper faith. Can you just imagine if we were all like that? Imagine how that's how we lived out our faith. Can you imagine the difference that we would be and do in the world? If you learn nothing from today, then be inspired by the example of Dorcas. Let her life be something that is held up for you to emulate and to model. Let her love for all be how you live your life too. Treat people like how she treats people. You can see that what we can see gleaned from this passage is that she was a person worth being around. It's clear she was generous and compassionate. What's more, she was reciprocated by her community. She was loved by her community. These sorts of people are just gold, and it doesn't matter whether you're Christian or non-Christian. Being in the presence of a person like this is so encouraging and so wonderful. But there's something, though, about Dorcas that is in this narrative. I wonder if you'd noticed it. The thing is, in this whole narrative, Dorcas doesn't say a thing. Now, I know she was dead for quite a bit of it, and then she came back to life again. But there's nothing in this narrative that she says. She doesn't have to, because her action speaks so much louder than her words. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak about our faith at all, because that's what I'm doing. But sometimes we can be guilty of just living a words life that has no substance to it. Her example challenges us not to be a hollow word people, but those who back up our faith with concrete, sacrificial, real living. You know, I was privileged to be here on Friday night for the 7 baptisms at XS. Some of those young ones are here. And here were our young people living out their faith in action in front of us all. I was here the other Wednesday night, and there was a team setting up for the community meals. And there's faith in action as well. I was here the other morning, and the prayer team were leaving the building after their morning prayers. There's faith in action as well. I'm here on Monday mornings, and there's a group here that cleans the outside of the building and car park to serve the church. There's faith in action as well. On Tuesday evenings, there's a group down at the skate park having a barbecue. There's faith in action as well. Very regularly, there are small groups providing a meal for a sick member. There's faith in action as well. Every Sunday morning, there's a welcome team, a hospitality team, a kids team, a tech team, a worship team, all setting up to serve. There's faith in action as well. There are so many examples that I could give you. So many examples for us to follow and to live into. The list goes on and on. Dorcas is one of the many whose lives have been changed by Jesus and who've allowed him to direct their actions, and it makes a difference in how we live. Not just Sunday or small groups, but every day. Dorcas was not a Sunday or a Wednesday night Christian. Let me tell you, it impacted her daily life. Why else would they mourn her, show Peter the clothes that she made? Because the Spirit of God moved in her life and her perspective was changed. Is your perspective changed? Has what's happened here done something here that translates to here? Is the Spirit of God speaking to you, or is your life so cluttered that you cannot hear what God is saying, or are you ignoring the still small voice that constantly speaks to you and says, I need you to do this? You know, the last few weeks I've been talking about money. But the honest truth is you don't need a sales pitch about money as a follower of Jesus. Or like what I did the other day, you don't need a vision picture to inspire you to give and to support. Why do I say that? Because giving is part of our faith. Giving is a response to what God has done in our lives. Giving is who we are as the people of faith. It's not an added-on. It's actually core business. In fact, senior pastors all around the world should never have to ask and never do these sorts of talks. The Spirit of God should be moving in our lives so much so that it's just automatically, and that's how we respond. Like caring for the poor. Caring for the poor is actually a test of our character. How we treat those whom the world deems as unimportant tells us a lot about us. In fact, kindness in general is something that we should all have, and it should be obvious amongst us. I know that while we live in what is mostly an affluent middle-class suburb, there is poor amongst us, but for many of us that is hidden. But there are a lot of needs that are not hidden. I mean, there are many amongst us who don't have friends. It's true. People don't have friends. I talk to a lot of fellows here and outside the life of this church, and I say, who can you share with? Who's your best friend? And they can't name anybody. There are those who have mental illnesses that are extraordinary. There are those amongst us who have never been invited out for a meal at somebody's home. There are those who are parenting alone, those who are struggling with their faith. There are those things, and there's so many more things that are commonplace amongst us. What we do when we see these things and remain in our closed circle of friends tells us a lot about our faith. What we do when we see a need and walk past it or ignore it tells us who we are as followers of Jesus. Dorcas shows us all these things. She shows us, without words, how to be a follower of Jesus. Not to talk about it, but to do it. The book of James, the latter part of the New Testament, reminds us not to be just hearers of the word, but doers also. My friends, Dorcas teaches us to serve, to love, to step out of our comfort zone like Jesus. So little things matter. Small things matter. In fact, our whole life matters. And God uses everything and everyone. And in the kingdom of God, everybody gets to play. If we just let him. My prayer is that many of us this week would inspire to be a Dorcas and allow the little things to eventually be big things as we serve the world. Let me lead you in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you for people that have come before us, people like Dorcas who so extraordinary and generously have stepped out of their need for themselves and have embraced your need for the world and your concern for the world and have stepped forward to meet those needs. Don't let us remain insular, bubble-like. Don't let us remain cushioned by a nice, close circle of friends, but help us to see beyond and connect beyond, to see a need and meet a need. Lord, help us to have courage as we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That rooster and I are going to have some serious words. It's not over yet, and I know how this is going to run. But remember what's going on. A half kilo rooster is upsetting a 100 kilo man. Little things can have big consequences, and little things can make a huge difference. I wonder, when Dorcas responded to the call of God in her life, or found a need and met that need to sew clothes and to give them away, whether she thought at the end of her life or at whatever point that was in her life, that her dying and then rising again would mean that a whole city would know the name of Jesus. God uses everybody in his economy, even you. Don't despise the little things he's calling you to. Go and do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, my friends. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.